But the other way you might never know is you never know when something really exciting is about to happen.
Yeah.
And that it just pays to, like, notice more things. And that's just such a cool way to go exist, is to go try to, like, notice little details and the art of noticing. In, yeah. It's a cool thing to do.
I can't wait to talk about all the bread things, though.
I'm excited to talk about the bread things. Hey!
Hey!
Everybody, welcome to Dear Lander, a purely Land Diego podcast. We're your hosts. I'm Jordan.
I'm Amara. And today,
we have Jake Perkinson.
Hello.
What's up?
From the Lander Bread Share.
Good to see you all.
Good to see you.
Thanks for being on, dude.
Yeah.
Of course.
We're excited. Like I told you before we started recording, I know nothing about your story, and I'm excited to know more.
Great. Make it all up.
Then nobody will ever know. You'll be like the mysterious bread guy.
My parents will listen, though, so they're going to know.
They'll be like, oh, nice. Just a big old dirty liar.
Yeah.
I like your Joe McGowan hat.
Thank you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Have we talked about Joe McGowan's things before?
I don't think so. I think maybe you just noticed the hat before, but...
Oh, yeah.
I worked for Kevin for a while.
Yeah.
And then worked with Joe a couple summers.
Oh, cool.
It's hard to believe it's been like 10 and a half years.
Yeah, it's crazy. Man.
Yeah.
That is crazy.
It is wild. Kev like had the coolest Joe piece, like my favorite one in his office. That one was so slick.
The mountain one?
Yeah, the mountain one.
Triptych one?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool.
But you guys have the super cool, like, buffalo woodblock.
Yeah.
I have a friend in Missoula that we, like, went to school with, Joe and I, where he was in our class, and he's got that same one.
Cool. I think there's, like, 4 or 5 of them around Lander.
Yeah.
And I don't know how many more, but...
So you worked with Joe, or you worked for Kevin, like, with Joe.
Mm-hmm.
When was that?
That would have been, like, 2011, 12, 13... he would work summers in there, and I worked full-time in there in the Knowles gear room, which Kevin ran.
Sweet.
For a couple of years when I was getting started working for Knowles.
Nice.
So is that how you ended up in Lander? Tell us your life story.
It is, yeah. I came here first to be a student on a Knowles course in 2008. It was like after my first year of college, and had like an amazing time in the Wind River Mountains, and went back and finished college, and then... immediately after came back to try to work for Knowles and stuck around.
Cool.
Yeah.
So where did you grow up?
I moved a couple times growing up, but mostly in Virginia.
Cool.
Central Virginia, yeah.
Okay.
Where there's actually kind of a number of people around Lander who grew up in the same place, yeah.
I know. It is pretty wild. There's like a consistent Ohio, Virginia. Yeah, there's another one where I'm always like, oh yeah, that makes sense. Minnesota is one where a lot of people have come from.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's cool. What was it like growing up in Virginia?
Great. Yeah, I grew up a little bit before that in Chicago. So Chicago and Virginia.
Yeah.
Yeah, we kind of lived outside of Charlottesville, which is like a college town in central Virginia, surrounded by kind of horse country, rolling hills.
All right.
Great place to grow up.
Were you always an outdoorsy person?
Yeah, my parents... met each other, like, leading outdoor trips, canoe trips.
Cool.
In college, and
that's a whole other ball game. Canoe trips, you know?
Which I don't really know a lot about that, but
ballers is all I'm going to say about that.
Yeah, about
that. that's intense stuff. Anyway, continue.
So they took us camping and stuff. Nothing really intense, but it's stuff we enjoyed. Me and my siblings, yeah.
And then, what did you go to college for?
I studied chemistry and biology. Which I think I forget all of now. But I thought at the time that I wanted to go to medical school. And then actually coming to Lander and having some of those experiences in the mountains changed my mind, because I just felt more excited about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Than school.
And you have to use some chemistry in bread making.
Yeah.
Right? A little bit.
And biology.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Microbiomes.
For sure, yeah. I would like to say that I'm like using my degree in a technical way, but not really. I feel like it was just learning a new craft more than using chemistry or biology to
yeah How did you get into it? Like, what is your journey into making some of the best bread that I've put in my mouth in this town?
How do you make it taste
the way it does?
Like that.
It's the Lander water.
Is it like the same? Is it the same water as like Paris or like wherever?
Yeah, what
have
is
the
it?
Best croissants?
Do you have? Is it witchcraft?
No.
Are you a warlock? Is it your little fingies? Tell me more.
No.
Is it love?
Is love.
I started just baking at home for fun.
Cool. I love that.
I think in the days where I was working trips for Knowles, you have a schedule where you're like expedition for a month, 3 weeks off, and having something that like felt like the day had some structure and all these big times off was something I really enjoyed.
Cool.
And it's, I don't know. It's just fun because you get to do it over and over and learn by trial and error, and you're always excited about the next go at it, and it was engaging to me, and I just started doing it more and more.
That's so cool. Are you still using the same sourdough starter that you had then?
Yeah, actually that...
so cool!
That is sweet.
Actually came from a friend who's like well known to the Lander climbing community, Hayden Kennedy.
Mm. Yeah.
Who's like definitely a person I looked up to. Just as a climber and person, and also some of his reflections on climbing. He's a writer as well. He used to just stay when he came to town and was super excited about it and left a starter with some directions, and that I just kind of inherited from another friend. It's been going. And I love giving it away, so if you want some starter, it's free. Just keep it going.
Sweet.
Wow. How old is it?
I don't think it's particularly old, which is... it's probably at this point like 12 years old or something.
That's amazing.
Or maybe 10. I don't know.
There's some
folklore about like really old, like frontier 200-year-old starters, which is very cool. But I think like the effectiveness of the starter has more to do with how you take care of it than how ancient it is. Even though that's super cool.
I'm just amazed that you've been able to feed it and keep it alive and love it for 12 years, because
it's hard if you're not using it every day, but if you're using it every day, then it's just part of the
process.
Yeah.
Cool. How old can it be?
Well,
if you take, say you got like a starter that's been taken care of every day and everything is, does it age out ever? Or?
So you feed it every day, you kind of replenish it, where you would take a little bit of the starter from yesterday, give it some new flour and water, and it will basically repeat this daily process of consuming the new food and fermenting. You'll see it like rise and fall in the jar. There'll be time to feed it again. So that could go on indefinitely. Mm. And then maybe it's changing a little bit based on its environment and what you're feeding it, but it could go on really long.
That's so cool to me.
Yeah.
See, that's chemistry. That's science. I love it.
Feeding, and that's biology.
That's biology.
Feeding an organism, yes.
Yeah, all it makes me think of is Little Shop of Horrors. You know, he's got the plant. Feed me, Seymour. That's what I'm going to think about with your starter. Every day I walk in there.
The name is Seymour, yeah.
You know, just keeps going. What's your favorite?
Seymour? The starter's name is
No.
It is now.
No. Doesn't have a name, but yours could be.
Mine could be Seymour.
That would be pretty sweet.
The excitement I feel is immense. Oh my God. I love this journey for everyone. What is your favorite thing to make? Mm. Or that you've learned to make since opening a storefront of Lander Bread Share?
Well, we keep it pretty simple. There's not like a ton of products. We make a handful of kinds of bread and a handful of pastries, maybe 8 or 10 types, which are all variations on a theme. So probably my favorite is just like the normal sourdough bread we make. And the fun part is handling it, shaping it, for sure.
It's beautiful.
Thank you.
My dad bakes, and I've watched Angie bake, but I don't know, I know, like, next to nothing about baking itself. How do you make the designs on the side of your loaves of bread?
So the big slash that you score the bread to let it open up in the oven, you use, like, a safety razor for that. And use the same razor to just do tiny little cuts that expand into that wheat stalk design.
So cool.
Which is totally unnecessary, but it's kind of fun.
Yeah.
I think it's very necessary.
It looks so pretty. Yeah.
I love it.
This is like the best looking loaf of bread in person that I've seen in Lander ever.
When we started making a little bit more, because still our volume is not crazy high, stopped the wheat stock design for a little bit, because it takes a little bit of extra time when you're loading them in the oven.
Yeah.
And then it became clear that we needed to bring...
People were like, where is it?
Yeah. Which is totally, totally doable because, you know, compared to some production bakeries who are doing thousands and thousands of loaves of bread.
Yeah.
We can focus on taking a little more time, which is nice.
For sure.
Which I think is one of the things that I love about what you've decided to do with the Lander Bread Share is that you're like, we're not going to be producing thousands of loaves of bread a day. Like, we are very specifically and intentionally making a small batch with love, you know? And I love that so much.
Thanks. Yeah. It fits with the size of the room we have. It would be hard to go with a huge scale. And I think it also fits with the town. Like,
yeah,
there's a market for it, but there's not millions of people here, so.
What can you tell us about, like, beginnings of Lander Bread Share? Because you guys started kind of, like, selling stuff at, like, Farmer's Market, correct? Or was it before that? Like...
Thank you, Food Freedom Act.
Yeah. Yeah, even before that, it was just kind of a delivery to your house where I would make it in my house, which the origins of that are kind of entertaining, like, as a... My neighbors, like, lent me their ovens, basically, so I could make enough. And I would be going between my two neighbors and my oven with the cast iron Dutch oven in the oven, which is, like, a pretty good way to make home-baked bread. From an early hour, they were all just fine with it, like me just going in, kind of probably waking everyone up by accident. And at one point, my neighbors, when they'd go out of town, they'd rent their house on Airbnb, and they would just put in the description, there's going to be a baker who comes in early who you don't know, sorry, he uses the house. And
yeah,
and everyone, awesome, even who was renting their Airbnb was fine with it.
Would they stay, get up early to watch you, to see?
Sometimes they'd kind of like ignore me or make conversation, or I don't know, I think people were just like, oh, this is how they do it here, which is kind of cool about Lander, that
yeah,
it is kind of how we do it here. Yeah, neighbors were first customers and supporters and kind of business coaches and gave me their kitchens and stuff, which was cool. So I did that for around a year. The home baking and delivering moved into the rental where we are now, but didn't have the full coffee shop there at that point.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just kind of hadn't renovated at all and just kind of did the same thing with a little more space. There wasn't a Lander Art District yet. It was just our landlords had just bought the building and we're just trying to get people in there. And then about 2 years ago, I met Adam Connor, who's the other half of our scene down there, who renovated the space and oversees the coffee operation.
And Adam's from Jackson, is that correct?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
How did you guys link up and... I've heard this story multiple times about how he kind of like went around and scoped out coffee in each of the coffee spots just to, because he's like pretty serious about like coffee being really good.
Yeah, we met because he would like to get bread at the farmer's market and, and pastries as well. And I think he's passionate about food in general. And I think it just occurred to him that it could be a fun project to try, and he wanted to live here, and that could be a way to support himself living here. And we kind of just talked about it a bunch. And I liked the idea of a storefront with coffee, but I didn't want to do the coffee myself. And it just kind of was perfect timing and felt like a good relationship. And it's been working out.
What can you tell us about the building y'all are in right now?
There's a little plaque on the corner of it that says International Order of the Odd Fellows. I don't know.
Oh.
I don't know much about that. But we considered...
I don't know much about the Odd Fellows.
Yeah. We considered calling the cafe Odd Fellows and decided in the end to go with white bark because we love the white bark pine, which is like the Wind River tree in the high country.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's been a lot of things in the front, the forge and the stock growers bar and Amoretti's.
I used to get my hair cut there.
Oh, yeah.
When I was, like, little.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been a lot of different things.
I think I got my first haircut in there.
Tattoos.
Yeah.
Parlor in there at one point. Yeah. And some apartments upstairs. And then where we are in the back was the Dashboard Hula hair salon.
That's right.
And there was a ceramics studio in there at one point. People confuse it with the Magpie that was actually
next door. That burned down.
Yeah.
Sad times.
I do remember when the Magpie burned.
I only went there one time.
R.I.P.
So when you're not making bread, what are you doing?
These days, it's nothing too exciting. A lot of family time. Two little kids. I guess something that I love about Lander is the rock climbing, even though there's a little bit less time these days, as well as the hunting and fishing around here. That's kind of another passion.
I was just saying, because Jake and I live pretty close together, and the reason I know this is because one time Joe and I were headed up the canyon, and he was practicing archery for hunting season, and it was an amazing shot. You were in the middle of the street. I don't know how far back you were shooting, though.
Maybe the police are going to now come because you're probably not supposed to be in the street.
It's Lander. You know, as long as you're not, like, aiming it at somebody.
700-yard shot.
I read the rules. You can shoot a practice tip, but not a hunting broadhead.
Yeah, which is what you were doing. But I was amazed.
Thank you.
Yeah. And Joe knew you because you exchanged fly fishing things. So I do remember when he was working up on the hill. Mm-hmm. Like, Jake came in today and I gave him some flies and here's some pastries, and he'd come home and be like, stop it, this is amazing. Yeah. You know? So rock climbing, did you learn how to do that in Lander, or was that something you learned in Virginia? Like, where did that journey start for you?
Learned in Virginia, but then it's just not the same as being here. So learned a lot more.
Became an expert here.
Or just fell in love with the landscape. Is just... Yeah, the opportunities, the access to different places.
Do you have a favorite route?
Maybe. So there's lots of different kinds of climbing here. There's, like, we're world famous for the sport climbing on the limestone, Sings Canyon, Wild Iris, but also the Wind Rivers have a lot of really cool alpine climbing. And I'd say that those are the most memorable things for me. Of one on Warbonnet Peak called Black Elk, which is
cool.
One I've done with my wife, which is just fun.
I don't think anybody's ever mentioned that one before.
I, like, the first time I was in the Cirque, there were some dudes that, actually, Mara was talking to some dudes that were going to do Black Elk, and it's, like, really difficult, isn't it? I think
it's moderately difficult. There's people, it's not extremely hard. It is super pretty, though, and just beautiful position, and I've gotten to climb in the Cirque with Mara as well, dressed as sharks climbing Shark's Nose Peak.
Dang, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Is that, like, tradition to...
Like, in a costume?
In a costume. Mara just brings the party, for sure.
That's so sick.
That is so much fun. Like, a foam one? Like, were you in a full thing, or was it more like a fin?
No, it's like a homemade cardboard fin on the helmet.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
For a second, I was picturing you in a, like, one of the foam Halloween ones, and I was like, that is commitment.
That would be cooler, but...
I don't know. The
this was kind
the of the homemade one on the helmet's pretty cool.
Lightweight helmet. Yeah. Homemade costume.
Where else in the Winds have you spent time climbing?
Well, there's a lot of cool climbing in the Northern Winds, like surrounding Gannett Peak. Kind of a different kind. It's more kind of snow, ice. The rock tends to be a little more crumbly and not as solid for pure rock climbing, but there's some really cool climbing around there. And on the topic of Joe McGowan, Kevin actually gave me a tiny little bottle of his ashes. Not all of them, but a little bit to put on top of Gannett Peak, which was cool.
Oh, that's cool.
That's experience. So cool. I love that.
I have a feeling Kevin was more doing that to, like, take care of me than Joe or himself. But
yeah.
So do you skateboard too?
No. I wish, but...
Same.
I have messed around, but I'm not... It's not something I really know how to do.
I'm a little too nervous to get on a board, I think.
Yeah.
My poor little wristies, you know? I worry about those. Nothing else. Just my wrists, for some reason. I need those.
It's a good way to screw up your wrists.
That's why I haven't snowboarded either, and I'm just stuck with skiing.
Skiing, I think, is better anyway.
I love it so much. Do you downhill cross country?
Both?
Yeah,
a little bit. These days, Nordic skiing around Lander is a little bit more what the time allows, but...
I have never done backcountry skiing, but I will downhill all day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A little swishing.
What are you interested... What does hunting look like for you?
It's... I was thinking about that because I thought you might ask me, and I was like, man, it's just so engaging for a lot of different reasons. I've been drawn to wildlife just in general, I think, my whole life, mm-hmm. but I didn't grow up hunting. So there's definitely been a transition in having a different sort of relationship with them. So there's that part. I just want to find them, watch them, be close to them. Same as fishing. Like, they're just fascinating, very cool creatures to be around. That's part of it. It's like, it's something that allows you to be a student, like, forever. Like, there's not, you're not going to stop learning about animal behavior. And that is just something that I think is fun. And that it's just like, it's so fun to learn something as an adult these days, like the amount of information that you can just keep learning as much as you want to. The food part for sure is, feels good. I like eating deer and elk and antelope, and
yeah,
I prefer it to buying meat at the grocery store for a lot of reasons. And then the other part is just the relationships with people. It's like, for whatever reason, I think people have pretty strong, close relationships with people who are helping them out with carrying an elk or some, you know.
Totally.
It's just a cool part of it.
Sure. I was talking with May and Sam the other day about how May was like, helped Sam get an elk off the mountain.
Yeah. She was giving me a hard time about that because we were having a baby. And she was like, that was supposed to be you, not me.
Was that, did Sam really? Was he the one that called?
Sam called you? Sam said he didn't call because he knew we were in the hospital.
Oh, man.
I love
that. They had a big old argument on the mountain, I guess. They were in a fight.
I think that that's part of it, though, right? It's kind of like what Mara was talking about yesterday. Like, you have to work through it. Like, you can't... And I think that's probably part of the relationship thing. Of like, you are bonding with somebody who's, like, helping you do this really intense thing. And you have to work through those conflicts, and then you're just bonded forever. Like, there's...
Mm-hmm.
It's cool, you know?
Totally.
Yeah.
I think another cool part about it is how... If you're just asking someone to hang out or for a trivial favor or something, it's like, well, you know, what do you have going on, or what's the schedule, or like, oh, it doesn't work right now. But if you're like, hey, I need your help, like, there's kind of a cool, like, drop what you're doing no matter what to help.
Yeah.
It's just cool. Cool thing to have with a friend.
Totally. The time and energy that people, like, take off and just, like, I don't know. Yeah, the patterns that we have out here for hunting are, it's something very beautiful. And I like grew up with it, and I don't think I really appreciated it until I became older. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I have a friend who's from like DC area, but she's lived in like Pennsylvania and Ohio. But we went to University of Wyoming together. She's a vegan, but she wrote a lot of papers on hunting, and just like the idea of hunting, and kind of picked up on those. Just how important it is, and kind of like what you're talking about too. Just like, we drop everything, and this is like the respect for the animal and being able to watch the behaviors and the way that they go about it. And it was, I mean, just a dream of hers to go hunting, which I thought was cool, like a cool concept.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and I think, when you talk to people in Wyoming specifically about hunting, like, there is always that, it's like a very, very deep respect
mm-hmm.
for the animal and for the nature. And I think that is such a cool aspect of it that I don't think people, unless they're really looking into it or have experienced it, don't quite understand that. Like, if you're just outside looking in, it's probably just like, oh, cool.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hunting. But like, when you talk to people about it, it is a spiritual experience, I think.
Yeah. People are dead serious about it too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Same with fishing.
Well, you know,
I'm
married to one.
to a fish.
Fishing is life.
Just joking.
seems like a lot of the activities that people do here, outdoor activities, there's a lot of different ways you can engage with them, and Lander's, I think, pretty cool in that you people travel here from all over to do this stuff, and that's one way to engage with an activity is to be like just a consumer of it. And I think Lander in Wyoming is full of people who are like caretakers of it as well, who like are establishing the roots and replacing the bolts and are thinking about elk and deer populations and conservation, not just like, oh, this is something that I like to do and this is for me. I think there's a lot of big picture minded caretaker type leaders around, which makes it cool.
Yeah. Do you have any specific like spots, or not like specific spots?
Yeah, don't give us your secrets, but
like any memories or I guess fond memories of like hunts that you've had or places that are special to you.
Yeah, well, just all up and down the east side of the foothills of the Wind River Range are just public land, easy to access, animals around that you can find, and you can walk as far away from the road as you want. And so there's a lot of spots around here that I feel like are kind of special and I have special memories with, that you could be there in a 45-minute drive from downtown. And that feels unique too, that just how cool the access is here. Mm-hmm. Hunting in the same place year after year is cool because you have like every year a new depth of, I guess, or a new layer of a sense of the place where you feel like you're part of the place, you know it well, you learn new things about it. And that's really enriching, I think, to mark a year each fall with visits to some of the same places, which I'm sure you all had growing up, like, you know, at Sinks Canyon Camp, which I wish I could have gone to.
Well, and I never went because I grew up north of here in Kinnear.
Oh, cool.
So I never did Sinks Canyon Camp, but very similar. I mean, you know, there's lots of... The public land aspect of Wyoming is pretty rad, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, very cool.
Just to be like, oh, I can just go wander through vast wilderness.
Yeah.
Forever, it seems like. Mm. It's just one of the coolest things about Wyoming.
Never occurred to me, like, how good we have it until I wasn't here.
Yeah, until you're,
and
like...
especially until I moved to Texas, and I was like, oh, this is all privately owned.
Yeah.
All and that sucks. I'm just gonna straight up say it, that sucks.
You're like, where do I park my car and camp for free on a road trip?
Where? Yeah. Yeah. I just assumed that that was like a thing that you could do, but
it's not.
Totally not. Like, yeah,
it is
never
special.
Occurred to me.
It is very special. So do you prefer bow hunting? Is that typically what you do?
I like rifle hunting too.
Cool.
I think I am a little bit more passionate about practicing with my bow just because it's so fun.
It is so fun. Yeah. The only bow experience I have is hunting carp, but...
Oh, cool.
At Ocean Lake. That's all I got.
The bow hunting can be special for a couple reasons. The time of year is usually September versus October, so it's a really nice time to be in the mountains. And then also, you need to get closer to an elk or a deer, and being that close is just it's a elevated level of experience for sure. And it's... can be frustrating, and it's not always exciting, but when it's exciting, it can be really, really exciting.
Yeah, I bet it is.
I was going to ask you, since like being out here and spending time out here, are there any other places in Wyoming that mean a lot to you or that you enjoy? Particularly like places that are bakeries or coffee shops or anything like that?
I'd say what popped in my head the first of all is places... just other places I like to go, mountain ranges, rivers, which I would pick living here 10 out of 10 times, but the Tetons and Absarokas are really fun places to visit, as well as I think the Bighorn River is pretty special, Wind River Canyon. That's not even that far away, but
they are really special. I haven't spent that much time in the Bighorns, but every time I go over there, I'm like, why am I not over here all the time? Yeah. What is happening? Oh, wait, because I have the winds in my backyard. But the Bighorns are so cool.
Yeah.
Very underrated, I think.
The Bighorn Mountains are sweet.
They're
sweet. I want to get up in Cloud Peak Wilderness. I've never done that, but
yeah.
I would like to. My sister and brother-in-law live in Ranchester. Dayton area. And even like that northern part is sweet.
Yeah.
It's a cool spot up there.
Yeah.
Where have you spent time in the Absarokas?
Mostly Togedy Pass zone, starting and out of there. Lots of trips in the winter, skiing, camping, and then some summer trips for fishing, for some of the native cutthroat trout fishing.
Cool.
Have you done a cut slam?
No, never done a...
I haven't gotten mine yet.
You just keep track and you have to catch all the subspecies, what, in a day or something?
No, I don't think there's a time limit on it.
Just overall, yeah.
Joe, when you listen, remind me to ask you. But I think it's like you just have to get it within, I don't know, maybe it's a year span.
Cool. I've seen some pictures of you holding some pretty nice cutthroat trout.
I have a good guide, all right?
The cut slam?
Yeah.
Okay. Does it have to be done in the Absarokas?
It just has to be done in Wyoming.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how many subspecies of cutthroat?
I think you just have to get 4.
Okay.
Bonneville.
I think.
Snake River. West Slope, Yellowstone?
Yeah, I think so. No, I got a really nice one at Pelham Lake.
Cool.
That was the one that Joe was the most excited about. I've never seen him yell so much in excitement.
Hey.
And you caught it?
Yeah.
That's so rad.
When he was teaching me streamer fishing, because I grew up spin casting.
Yeah.
Love fishing. And it took Joe about a decade to get me on a fly rod because I'm stubborn and was like, I will choose when I'm ready to do this. He was like, all right. And he would just be like, you want to try one? I'm like, get out of here with that. he finally got me on one. So I've been learning over, I would say, the last like 7 years, just like different tactics. And that one was specifically streamer fishing.
Cool.
And it was really fun because it was an unexpected, massive cutthroat. It was
sweet.
Just like, you know.
Yeah.
It was so fun to reel in. And you never know. I mean, on a fly rod, it's like a whole other thing because we always crimp our barbs, you know. So it's like, if you're not holding the right pressure, it gone. Like, so learning all of those things, I think that's the most fun thing about fly fishing to me is like, you're constantly working different aspects of your body and your brain to like keep the correct things happening, right? Like, it's so cool.
Yeah.
My arms are always very tired, you know, because you're just constantly mending and tossing and doing stuff, but there's nothing like it. It's so cool.
Yeah. You said you never know, which I feel like is one of the coolest parts about fishing and hunting. And I think you were talking about, like, you never know. It might get off the hook.
Yeah,
you might not land the fish and deal with the heartbreak. But the other way you might never know is you never know when something really exciting is about to happen.
Yeah.
And that it just pays to, like, notice more things. And that's just such a cool way to go exist is to go try to, like, notice little details.
The art of noticing.
Yeah. It's a cool thing to do.
And I think that is, you know, because we were talking about, I think people, when they talk about Lander changing or Wyoming changing, I think, like, those are the aspects that, like, they can't quite put into words, right? Which is, like, when you are in the mountains, like, doing whatever it is, right? You are completely disconnected but connected to the person you're with. And you notice the coolest, smallest things that maybe when you're existing in day-to-day life, you just don't notice. You know, like, one time Joe and I were hiking back into Upper Silas, and there's that, like, giant kind of switchback, you know, you kind of go all the way up, it's, like, a pretty steep incline, and we stopped because I was huffing and puffing for air for a sec, and I looked over, and there was this, you know, old tree, it was pretty tall, and I was looking at it, and I kept looking at it, and there was
Bigfoot.
An owl in it.
Oh.
Oh, God, wouldn't that have been cool?
Sorry.
My bad. Shoot, dang it. If it was, though, you would have known already. I'd be like, I saw a Bigfoot. No, it was an owl. And it was just sitting in the top of it. And it was the same color gray. So, like, if you didn't, if you weren't just, like, stopping and noticing for a second, just, like, kind of taking in what's around you.
You'd have never known. Yeah.
It was one of the coolest things I've ever seen.
That's awesome.
And our dogs would run down, and its whole head would swivel. I'm like, that's so cool.
Yeah.
You know, like, It's that stuff.
Yeah.
Have you ever considered, like, leaving Lander or spending time anywhere else in the Mountain West?
No. Not a single time. I remember, I think I was 18, came here for the first time. And as an 18-year-old, you don't really think about, like, where you're going to live, because you're just, like, you just think about what's fun, and the rest of your life is, like, some faraway thing.
Yeah.
You're going to experience things.
But I remember walking through Lander and being like, I would like to live here. I'd live in any one of these houses.
Yeah.
And I met my wife, Catherine, in Tucson, and initially she was unsure about, like, moving here, living here, buying a house here. And since then, I think she's even more of a fan than me. But no, never considered leaving.
Wow.
Would love it if friends and family who didn't live here wanted to move here too.
What does Catherine like to do?
She likes all sorts of stuff. We just ran a race together, which has been a big part of her life in the past, like long endurance trail runs.
Mm-hmm.
She also loves to climb. She works part-time as a climbing coach, which she gets to do remotely and as well as in person at the gym in town at Elemental.
Sweet.
She is pretty passionate about being a mom right now. That's the thing that she's very joyful about. And she's a writer as well, artist. Some of those things have been on hold for different times, but yeah.
So did you guys just run the trail run in Sinks last weekend?
We did, yeah. We did the medium one, not the 50K. We did the 18K.
Which is how many miles?
I think it's like 11 miles or so.
NBD. Just 11 miles of trail running.
That's hardcore.
Yeah. That is hardcore.
It's
how are your knees?
They're fine. You don't have to run really fast. It's a really cool event that Lander Running Club, Emily Tilden and Gabe and Jenny Joyce put on, which is just really fun.
I think it's just anybody who does it, I'm like, you are one of the coolest people I know, because I just as a person, I'm just not sure I could run. I like to hike the trails. Mm-hmm. Running's just never been my forte. So anybody's like, I'm gonna do that, I'm like, I think you're the coolest.
We did, like, get to
so cool.
We got to watch the people at the who got first and second and third in the 50K finish, which that's something like 31 or 32 miles or something. And so I feel like that's, like, it's just really cool to see people doing that sort of effort. And the people who finished first and second were both friends of mine, but they didn't know each other. And they, like, kind of were within 2 minutes of each other, like, when they finished, which is crazy for such a long run. And then they met each other at the finish line and, you know, they're both just really cool and happy to meet each other. But
that's so
cool. It was cool to watch, yeah.
I sometimes wish I could be in somebody's brain for those things. Just, like, what does giving your body power for that whole time feel like? You know? Like, how do you... I need to know more. I'm so, like, curious.
It would just happen.
Even 11 miles, what's it like in your brain? Like, when you're just powering through, like, do you just get in a zone and you're just vibing? Like, what's happening up there?
I think you know what it feels like. It's just like you go on a run around the block, and that's how that feels, and it just feels like that a little bit more. Like, you go on a couple training runs, and I wouldn't say it starts feeling easier, but it feels the same, and you get faster, maybe. And you just go slower when you feel tired and walk. And
what's your favorite Lander smell?
I remember the first time going into Sinks Canyon with my mom. And I think I remember specifically because of the smell, like sage and pine. So maybe that. Or maybe, like, there's a time when you're, like, trying to get close to a group of elk where you can smell them pretty strongly.
Yeah.
And that's exciting if you're trying to get close to them. So that's another very exciting.
That's cool.
Smell that's really cool. Environment.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mixed with the sage and the pine.
Yeah. Maybe sage, like, right after it rains.
Mm-hmm.
In May or something.
Undefeated.
Yeah. You really can't go anywhere else and get that smell. Other places have sage.
Who said, the cave sinks? Was that you?
Yeah.
Like, the cave, when you walk down there at Sinks, is, like, one of the most distinct... I mean, like, the sagebrush thing is like a for sure a Wyoming thing. And yeah. Lander.
Or lilacs for the 2 weeks that they're going off. Yeah. That's a pretty good one.
That's a really good one. Yeah. You know, the cave has a very specific smell. It's like ocean and
but what about fresh water. White bark.
Oh, yeah.
When you walk in and.
That's so good.
And there's Jake and he's pulling out.
The morning
it's like
buns.
8 o'clock and it's all like right there. That smells.
I know.
I don't know. You know what I mean?
You can't you can't smell it when you're working there.
You're like, I'm so used to it these days.
Yeah. It is cool when you're not the one opening and you come in at 8, which is what I do a lot these days because the team is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And to get that experience a little bit.
When do y'all open? Or when does opener come in? Sorry.
The baker comes in usually 4:30 unless it's busy summer, then a little bit earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And then Saturday for the market at 3, which is early for sure. Yeah, I mean, we've got 3 bakers besides me and then a bunch of people who make pizzas and they're just amazing. It's cool to, it's a unique job to ask someone to start at 3 in the morning. Definitely a privilege to be part of the team. But yeah, it's cool to come in and get the right out of the oven smells. We open at 7 a.m. for customers, but the pastries aren't all out till 8.
Anything else you want to add? Anything we didn't touch on that you want our listeners to know?
No, I don't think so. Thank you.
Yeah. It was so fun having you on.
Yeah. Thanks for being
here. You're the coolest.
You too.
Oh my God. It's because I went carp hunting, isn't it? So.
Was it with the bow yesterday?
I didn't go. I haven't done it in a while.
Okay.
Teenage years. Pretty consistent. You'll be like, I need to know more about this.
How many carp would you get?
Well, to be clear, they are hardy creatures. They are. It's not like you shoot them and they're like, oh, I'm dead.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, you got to get them and give them a real good rock shampoo, and that's hard to do, you know, because...
A rock shampoo.
Yeah, that's a Joe LaFever original right there. It's when you, you know, take a fish out and you hit it on a rock.
Yeah, you do
so you can take it
the
with
Smeagol
you.
Type thing.
Rock shampoo. But, I mean, because this was before we had... And I never had one of these, but, you know, they've got the bows that have, like, the reel on them.
Oh, yeah.
So when you shoot the arrow, you can reel it back in.
You didn't have that.
We didn't have that. And so oftentimes you'd shoot one and they'd swim away with your arrow and you'd be chasing it in the water trying to get a hold of it.
That's a whole different sport.
It's a whole different sport, which I think is why it was so fun.
Yeah.
You know, you're like, I don't know. Because they're an invasive species. It's not like...
Yeah.
I would never do that with...
It's not like the 4 subspecies of cutthroat.
Yeah, I would never do that. And I will release them, but carp... Invasive. Get them out of here.
I'm going to start some rumors.
Do it.
That you're bow hunting for cutthroat.
You'll be like, Joe's wife? They'll be so horrified.
Under his nose, all this time.
All this time, 17 years in, had no idea.
You just never know.
You just never know. Little mischievous creatures exist in Kinnear.
Well, cool, gang. This is Jordan.
This is Amara.
This is Dear Lander. We'll talk to you
very soon.
Like super soon.